This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. On the hogs, you cut the kill and the product market should respond. The pork cutout jumped $3.48 Friday. All primals posted gains. Pork processing plants in the Carolinas were darkened by the hurricane. The kill was 245,000 head short of last year. Hog numbers in that region will get badly backed up. The storm will linger, and normal could be a long time away for some areas there. The hurricane is bearish in terms of backed up hogs and lost demand. Bloomberg says that the Smithfield Tar Heel plant, which was shuttered ahead of the storm, was not damaged, and production schedules will be announced based on employee safety. While the hurricane may be short-term bearish where we live, news of African swine fever being confirmed in Belgium is potentially very bullish on the other side of the world. To get to Belgium, the virus has moved through Eastern Europe. It is more confirmation that the virus is outside any containment and could spread throughout Europe as well as Asia. That could mean huge things for U.S. pork export potential. In Europe, their rivers flow in a way that could bring the virus into the continent. In the United States, our rivers flow outwardly. They still have backyard outside hog lots, but other than small foodie hog operations here in the U.S., it is our feral hog operation that could carry the virus. It was wild boars in Belgium with the African swine fever. Our feed and transportation biosecurity has been hardened. The European Union is the world's largest pork exporter, so if infected with African swine fever, it could turn the global supply chain upside down, but should put the U.S. export advantage on top. This could become a Hail Mary save to an otherwise darkened export outlook for the U.S. pork industry. Instead of the U.S. industry expanding into protectionism, it could instead be expanding into a global pork shortage. On the cattle. In general, demand has been good, packer margins have been great, and the futures market appears to have concluded that seasonal weakness in the beef product market is already factored into prices. The cattle complex posted a solid weekly close above summer highs, validating an uptrend that goes back to last spring. Next to be challenged is the February highs in live cattle. Feeder cattle have blown through those highs, leading the complex. Live cattle should follow through with feeders. Trends are up. It is limited kill capacity that is keeping packers from expanding the kill. No one is building a new plant that I am aware of, but they would add shifts if they could find trained workers. It is the tight labor situation that, therefore, is holding back the kill. Feedlots are feeding just a few too many cattle to wrest market leverage away from packers. The cattle market has not been a train wreck because of both strong domestic and good exports. The beef export trade only got nicked by the trade war at this point, and there is potential for some good things to happen to the beef market from trade agreements with the EU and Japan. On the grains, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is not a heavy hitter in the Trump administration and has been marginalized relative to the trade hardliners. Mnuchin suggested that talks with China would receive imposition of tariffs on the next $200 billion of Chinese imports, and Trump said, the tariffs go forward before the talks as soon as Monday. Trump may concede to them being 10% instead of 25%. I doubt China will consent to have talks under those terms. They have said that they wanted leverage to be more balanced, and Trump essentially wants them to cave in ahead of time so that he can walk in and direct what happens. I don't think that's realistic. China has threatened tariffs on $60 billion in U.S. imports, cannot stay up with Trump tit-for-tat on tariffs, so reportedly is considering putting limits on the sale of parts and supplies needed by U.S. companies to operate there, which would threaten their supply chains. For example, this would limit how many phones Apple could make. Trump's Iran trade embargo will also be an escalation of the trade war with China. This thing can go to new levels yet. Failure for December corn to hold near July lows may send it down to fill the continuation gap left by the expiration of the September contract, testing 335 support. Doing so would damage the overall technical picture for corn prices. We will not run out of corn this next year, given the record yield, but they will have to provide incentive to grow more acres the next season. USDA used 350 as the average corn price. 768 is our downside objective for November soybeans. My plan will be to take profits on soybean hedges, take the tariff buy my vote government payment without complying, put the soybeans in the bin, and take the government loan. If 9 months from now soybean prices are no better or worse, Donald Trump will have lost his trade war. We should have a resolution one way or the other by then, or we will have another ag depression. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.